joining us on the Newsmakers line, and he's been called it plenty of times, but it's the first time I get to call him Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin. Glenn, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Yeah, we're doing great, Joe. Thank you so much for having you back on your show, and I just always enjoy being with you.
Well, and you know, I want to talk first and foremost about all the and we were watching the shift and how many communities, Albemarle County, Greene County, all around here, Fluvanna County, with, you know, increased support. And we were just talking about it with a listener as well. It wasn't just the Loudoun County, Fairfax County, where you gained 10 points, 6, 7 points. It was all these other areas where you got even stronger. What message does that send you as you build your legislative agenda as to what Virginia wants and needs from its next governor?
Well, this was a strong statement across the Commonwealth. And let's just be clear, you're 100% right. We did. We won Hampton Roads. We won Greater Richmond. We picked up a huge vote of confidence in Northern Virginia that in fact kitchen table issues are in fact very important to all Northern Virginians, and of course through the valley and all the way down into Southwest Virginia. We just had amazing turnout and support. This was a comprehensive statement by Virginians that in fact kitchen table issues, common sense, needs to be put back into government. And therefore, low taxes and getting our cost of living down and making sure that our schools are educating our kids so that, in fact, our children are prepared, but prepared not only to take on challenges of college, but also a career if that's the choice they get to go, but also to stop teaching our children what to think and make sure they're educated on how to think, stand up for law enforcement, and make sure that we have safe communities, and finally to get this great Virginia economy moving and growing again to prepare jobs for all those great college students or folks coming out of high school that want to go get them.
Well, I wonder,
there is a real clear statement here, and that's why we look forward to moving into this legislative agenda and pressing forward on all of it.
The media has already started in on you. Usually I have a joke that I say, first comes the swearing in, then the swearing at. But the media is already out there doing it. Newsweek, showing their great journalism skills, actually just watched WRIC-TV's report on you, where the reporter insists that she asked you about school masks. Your answer didn't match up to what she was saying going into it. So I want to get the details of not just the WRIC-TV interview, you know, and my question is, what was her actual question that she asked you? But, you know, now the left-wing media is already out there saying, see, Glenn Youngkin's not going to stop the masking or anything like that. So nuance that you have the floor so you can give us your whole answer, not excerpted like they did on WRIC.
Well, thank you. And I don't think this is nuanced. And I've been very clear all along through this campaign and since I was fortunate enough to be elected governor. Let me just be clear, I'm going to choose every authority that I have as governor in order to combat what I believe are not correct mandates, and therefore I'm going to rescind them. And let's just be clear, I have three big principles. One, there should be no state government mandates. Two, that in fact people should not get fired from their job for not getting the vaccine. And finally, when it comes to parents know best for what's right for their kids when it comes to their education and their health. And therefore, I will rescind Executive Order 18 for state employees. They will not be mandated to wear masks or get vaccines. And I will appoint a new health commissioner, and we will rescind the public health order that requires kids K through 12 education to wear a mask in order to attend at both public and private schools. And then finally, I will work with our Attorney General, Jason Meares, and we are going to push back against what I believe is an unconstitutional position from Joe Biden that employers with more than 100 employees mandate their employees get a vaccine. Otherwise, they have to fire the employees. We're just not going to stand by and let this happen. And so I just want to be really, really clear. This has been my position. This continues to be my position, that we, in fact, are going to respect the individual's ability to make these decisions with regards to the vaccine, and particularly with parents' ability to make decisions with regards to their children.
Glenn Youngkin is on with us. And, Glenn, you mentioned the legislative agenda, because some of this is executive orders because it was done with executive orders by Ralph Northam. But some of it is going to be, hit the ground with that first State of the Commonwealth address and get with Todd Gilbert and Rob Bell and the leadership of the Republican majority in the House I presume, because we, you know, a couple of Democrats have decided calling for recounts isn't a danger to our democracy, but it is when a Republican does. But that being said, when Todd Gilbert is Speaker of the House, talk about the legislative agenda, especially rolling back some of the things they did, like giving counties like Albemarle the ability to ban guns on county property, which is patently unconstitutional, but the past General Assembly and Governor Northam gave them this extra governmental authority to do this stuff.
Well, Joe, let me just start with one. I think that these recounts are going to end up confirming exactly what we know, which is yeah. that Republicans, in fact, swept in a majority in the House of Delegates. And in fact, we won races all over the Commonwealth. And by the way, we won the governor's office, lieutenant governor's office, and the attorney general's office. And so I think there was a clear statement on the kind of agenda that Virginians broadly were supporting. The legislative agenda is going to be really clear. We are pressing forward with our day one plan, and we're going to make sure that we get taxes down. We're going to eliminate the grocery tax, and we're going to double our standard deduction, and we're going to go to work for our veterans, and we're going to have a tax rebate. And we're all focused on moving forward with that agenda. We're going to make sure that our schools, in fact, do have a record budget to fund teacher salaries and invest in facilities and special education, but we're going to press forward with charter schools. And, by the way, schools will be open 5 days a week. And we're going to make sure that law enforcement is comprehensively funded. And, in fact, we're going to fund increased salaries, and we're going to fund equipment and training. I will, in fact, on day one, with no need from legislature, fire the entire parole board and get us moving and revamping the way we think about parole in Virginia, making sure we respect victims' rights. And we are going to fund our mental health system much more comprehensively. It needs it. And then finally, as I've said all along, we're going to stand up for our constitutional rights. And so this is a very, very clear day one agenda. It's been that way from the beginning. And this is the agenda that we are going to be pressing forward with in the legislative session. What's most important is that in fact this agenda, which we in fact were sent to go execute against, will be the primary focus as we head into our legislative session. And I look forward to working with Speaker Todd Gilbert and the rest of the Republican leadership. But I also have reached out across the aisle and are spending time with Democrat leadership as well, because these are universal values: low taxes, great schools, safe communities, a job market that provides opportunities for all Virginians. And in fact, I have an opportunity today to meet with the Senate Finance leadership and to have a chance to visit about the investment of the various surpluses, which I have said all along that we have been overtaxed by $2.6 billion last year, and they're doing it again, and we know it. And these are the funds that, in fact, provide us the great opportunity to, yes, declare a tax refund and reduce the tax burden on Virginians, but on top of that, invest in these most important initiatives so that we can make sure that our communities are safe and that our children are educated properly, and that we have a Virginia school system that we can be proud of.
I just want to follow up on that because I want to make sure that all of, and I'm a gun owner and believe in the Second Amendment. When you say constitutional rights, so you would push for legislation that would undo, say, Albemarle County's authority to ban guns on county property?
Yeah, Joe, I have said all along that I don't believe that we should have a patchwork of laws and regulations across Virginia. That's why I do not support sanctuary cities, and why, in fact, I believe that my actions around mandates for vaccines, in fact, are the actions that, in fact, accomplish our ultimate goal. That, in fact, the Commonwealth of Virginia has a very, very clear delegation of authority to cities and communities, and it has a very clear priority for decisions that can be made in Richmond. And when it comes to issues like the ones we're discussing, those are topics that should be decided by Richmond and not by individual communities.
All right, so now I've got the real thing that compelled me, Glenn, and I appreciate it, getting on the ground running. Your transition team just was a bell ringer for me. When I saw Lindsey Burke there, and I'm a little wonky, Lindsey's been on this program more than you have, and I saw her, I said, well, Glenn, yeah, first off, you're the first governor I've ever heard even say school choice in his acceptance speech. You said it three times. Then you go and you get Lindsey Burke on the transition team. Talk about what you guys are working together regarding school choice and parents' rights in Virginia.
Yeah, so let me just begin, gentlemen, thank you for saying that. Is this transition team reflects all the initiatives that we prioritized heading into this election and why I believe Virginians voted for me. And yes, we have parents on our transition committee. I have a sheriff on our transition committee. And yes, we have experts across the various areas in small business. But we also have a number of new faces and fresh faces on this transition committee that really can reflect Virginia of the future. And our education agenda is very clear. It's very, very clear. We are going to press forward with the most aggressive charter school program in Virginia's history so that we can introduce choice into our public school system so that, in fact, a child's destiny isn't dictated by his or her zip code. And, in fact, Virginia has been woefully inadequate in providing choice within our school system, and charter schools absolutely are going to be a mainstay of our administration to make sure that we have what I call innovation charter schools that are created in partnership, yes, with universities, but also local businesses to develop a curriculum that, in fact, prepares our kids not just to go to college, but for a career if that's the direction they choose. And these are schools that will, in fact, provide opportunity for parents to make a choice within their public school system.
Last one for you, Glenn. And my favorite, though, part of your transition team was Doug Wilder. I love visiting with Doug Wilder. He's one of my favorite guests, favorite interview. What are you gaining from your interactions with Governor Wilder regarding, you know, the economic opportunities and things like that in Virginia?
Well, I am blessed to have been able to tap into four governors, in Governor Gilmore, Governor Allen, Governor McDonnell, and Governor Wilder. And the fact that all four were willing to give their time and energy to help us move forward with this agenda is a real statement, and I just appreciate all four of them. Governor Wilder, of course, is a testament to fiscal discipline in government and a well-run government. And on top of that, he and I completely agree that education is, in fact, at the cornerstone of the future of Virginia. And we have to get our schools, in fact, pointed in the right direction. And that's why I also believe that we have some real opportunities with our historically black colleges and universities in order to make some real strides, which is why I have the presidents of the historically black colleges and universities engaged in our charter school initiatives so that, in fact, we can come up with curriculum that serves all Virginians. This is a real opportunity for us to bring people together around these most important but also supported common sense initiatives that represent Virginians' real desires. This is a Republican platform that has been embraced by Virginians. And this is a real turning point in the direction of the Commonwealth.
Well, until you take office, it's YunkinForGovernor.com still, Glenn?
It is. It's YunkinForGovernor.com. And we look forward to the 15th of January. We are working hard on the transition. As I said, I feel so blessed to have such incredible talent around us, giving us great counsel and advice as we assemble a real team of experts in order to drive forward on this agenda. So again, I want to thank you for having me with you today. And of course, I will always accept an invitation. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Glenn Youngkin, governor-elect for Virginia. You have a great day, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Political yard signs are bobbing up faster than kudzu. Stay up to date on Election 21 on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Mostly sunny skies for your Friday, but much colder. Temperatures only climbing into the upper 40s and lower 50s.
It is 40 degrees outside of the Automated Office System studios at 732 AJ. And from the WCHV and CBS 19 newsrooms, this is Local News First. The Crozet-Brownsville Redistricting Committee will recommend to the Albemarle County School Board moving 219 students from...